Good morning. Like to call to order the February 22nd, 2024 meeting of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of the ZBA are final. Challenges to the decisions of this board must be made or filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you will, please, if you have cell phones or noise-making devices, please silence them at this time. And join me in the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer. Father, we just thank you for this morning, for time to come together to do the business of our city. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of living here. And Lord, thank you for all of your blessings to us. And Father, we just ask your blessings on these proceedings. Give us wisdom. Help us to make right decisions and informed decisions. Lord, I pray and ask that you bless this city and the marriages and the families here, that you would strengthen them. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. See. Okay, this is a little mixed up. Oh, let's see. We've got some items requested to be removed from the final agenda. The expansion of a nonconforming use 24-000386. The Pilot Travel Center variances 110 Crossroads Parkway 23-000152. And those are requested to be removed from the final agenda. Is there a motion to remove those from the final agenda?
So moved.
All right. Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to remove those items from final agenda. It's been seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and those items will be removed. We have a request for an item to be withdrawn completely. This is the side setback variance for 913 West Wahlberg, 24-000427. Is there a motion to allow this to be withdrawn?
Motion to withdraw.
Mr. Turner's made a motion to withdraw this from the completely. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and that item will be withdrawn. Next, we have the approval of the minutes from the January 25th meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So approved.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jarrett. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the minutes are approved. And next we need to approve the minutes for the January 30th special called meeting. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to approve the minutes and Mr. Turner has seconded that motion. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and those minutes are approved. All right, next we need a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you. You've had a chance to look at that. Is there a motion to approve it?
I so move.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the final agenda. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Turner. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes and the final agenda is approved. Next we have the election of officers for 2024. I was nominated for chair and Mr. Condon has been nominated for vice chair. I guess we, Mr. Turner, how do you, I don't think we need a motion for that. We just need to vote on the nominations. Mr. Turner, how do you vote?
I'm sorry, we do need a motion. This is Pamela Everett. We do need a motion, please.
Okay. Pam says we need a motion.
Yes,
do we
sir.
Have a motion to approve?
Move to approve the slate of officers.
All right. Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to approve Mr. Merriman as chair and Mr. Condon as vice chair. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes and the officers will be me and Mr. Condon. All right. On the regular agenda, we're going to hear the case for a front yard setback for 522 Acacia Street, 24-000477.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here at the MPC. I would like to take items 10 and 11 together, if you guys don't mind, simply because these are two adjoining properties at 522 and 524 Acacia Street. In essence, the staff report is the same. At this juncture, I'd like to enter it into the record. And so, in essence, what the petitioner is requesting on this site is for a pair of variances to the maximum front yard setback for structures in the TR3 zoning district. And this is to permit a front setback of 20 feet where a maximum of 10 would ordinarily be required. And as you can see from the proposed lot configuration here, the purpose of the request is in order to permit a parking spot at the front of this residence. And kind of given the configuration of the houses, this is appropriate. I lament that I don't have a photo that I took here so that we could see that there are some nearby examples that are consistent with this. But nonetheless, you can see that ultimately the house would be pushed back to 20 feet in the front. It would be conforming with regard to all other setbacks, and this would allow for a paved strip in order to accommodate the one off-street parking space that is required by ordinance. With that, you can see here, these are the development standards in the TR3. And this is showing that the front yard setback can be a maximum of 10 feet. I'm going to jump down here so that you can see that these are actually two parcels. Actually, they're two lots, not just parcels, but two distinct lots. There was a home that was at the time situated on top of the two, across the property line that separated these two lots. That home has since been demolished. It is no longer there. And it's the petitioner's intent to establish a home at a 20-foot setback on both of these lots, more or less where my cursor is right now. With that, staff does recommend approval of the requested variances, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Morrow? Okay, thank you. Before I call for the petitioner to come forward, I apologize. There's one part that I left out. If you're going to speak or give testimony here today, will you please stand and for this or for any other case, just raise your right hand and repeat after me, please. I do solemnly swear. To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. All right, would the petitioner please come forward for this case? And if you will, state your name for the record.
Brad Ball.
Well, Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, I think this speaks for itself. It seems pretty straightforward. You know, there's no lane there, so to satisfy the off-street parking requirement, we thought this would be the best way to do it, get one parking space per house.
Okay, thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you're online, if you use the raise your hand feature, we'll recognize you. Nobody? Okay. Well, we enter into board discussion. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Excuse me. But we do have someone. It's Brianna Paxton.
Okay.
She's going to speak.
Ms. Brianna, are you online?
Hello. Yes, I'm here.
What would you like to say?
I have additional evidence to present on behalf of Mr. Baugh and South Streets LLC. If that would be useful at this time. I have additional photos to show the context.
They weren't submitted prior to the.
So the petitioner did request access to present. So the board would be open to hear.
Okay, well, y'all don't have any objection?
No.
All right, well, please go ahead then. Mr. Morrow, are these going to show up on our screen or what?
That's my understanding.
I hope so. I'm trying to get my.
Can you see it now?
Just confirming you are seeing a PDF screen?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for accommodating me virtually. I'm here to speak on behalf of 522 and 524 Acacia Street. As Mr. Morrow suggested, we are speaking about these properties together because they're side by side and the request is the same. Here's a current day photo of the lots that have been cleared, and the plan for redevelopment is to build two single family houses for resale. Here are the lots situated on Acacia Street. This is very southeast Cann Park, nearby to MLK and almost down to Millsby Lane. As you can see, the Acacia Street curves a bit, and these are all 30 by 100 lots with no lane in the back, so they are considered substandard for TR3. On the left-hand side here is the neighboring property to the east of 522, and as you can see, it is very close to the property line and also quite close to the street. And this property is on the corner, so looking more south, there is a bit more breathing room. This is looking straight northeast on Acacia Street. As you can see, there's a variety of housing ages and types, and some folks have driveways, some folks do not. I would also share these photos. On the left is further east on Acacia Street, where these properties are a little further back than the greenhouse that is the immediate neighbor. And then on the right-hand photo is across the street on Burroughs Street. Again, some properties are set further back than others, and several have driveways in front. This is a screenshot that Mr. Meyer showed that was part of our application, looking at attempting to draw the setbacks on Sages. And while the neighboring property is only about 5 feet setback, several of the other properties nearby are 13, 15, or 18-foot setbacks. I'll also point out this triangle median that is directly in front of the two properties in question that makes the street there very narrow. That's another factor in wanting to remove the potential of street parking and put the required parking space in front of these houses. As configured, we are proposing a ribbon strip driveway, which is allowed per the ordinance. And for 524, we're proposing to put that driveway to the eastern part of the lot to be quite close to 522. And then the ribbon strip driveway for 522 would be put on the western side of the lot out of respect to the neighbor in the greenhouse to the east. We didn't want the driveway too close to their property line. And 524 was also situated on the eastern property line so that as a homeowner is backing out of this property, they wouldn't be backing out onto Burroughs Street. Here's some precedent in TR1 zoning of other properties that were new builds that have been set back a bit to accommodate parking and how they turned out in actuality. This is 731 through 735 East 39th Street. There are additional properties also at 917 and 919 East 39th Street where this also occurred. So today we are seeking increased front yard setback from 10 feet to 20 feet to be able to provide this off-street ribbon strip driveway. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would any other members of the public like to speak? Okay. And Mr. Moore, that wasn't actually a member of the public. She was representing the petitioner, correct? Okay. All right. And there are no members of the public online that want to speak? Okay. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir.
Is it Jared?
No, thank you.
Mrs. Jones?
Not at this time.
Would someone care to make a motion?
Move to approve 522. Can we do them together or do they have to be separate?
We heard them together.
Yep.
If you would, just take a vote on each individual petition.
That's what I thought. Move to approve 522 Acacia Street.
Second.
All right. Mrs. Jared has made a motion to approve the request for variance for 522 Acacia Street, seconded by Mr. Turner. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jared, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance is approved. Is there a motion for 524 Acacia Street, front yard setback 24-000479?
A motion that we approve.
All right. Second.
Motion has been made to approve by Mr. Turner, seconded by Mrs. Jones. There's no discussion on the motion. Mrs. Jared, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear the fence height variance for 414 West 48th Street, 24-000490.
All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. This is a petition for a fence height variance located at 414 West 48th Street. At this juncture, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. The petitioner is requesting consideration of a proposal to construct an 8-foot privacy fence surrounding the entirety of the property here that is an adaptive reuse of a former church. That's going to be developed into three residences, and this also includes parking for the proposed residential structure. And so I'm going to jump down to a couple of relevant findings here just so we can understand, because the request is permissible in certain areas with kind of some circumstances related to each one, but there are areas at which 8 feet would not be permitted in essence. So the parcels were zoned TC2, traditional commercial 2, and multifamily residential configurations are permitted in the zoning district by right. So reuse of the church for this purpose is appropriate. The converted structure is going to contain three-bedroom dwelling units. They are stacked, so you'll have one on kind of a ground floor. You'll have a middle floor and then like a top floor, so ground first, second configuration. And this seems to have been built originally in 1970, and it was home to kind of a succession of church congregations. And so as many of our churches are, we're having to find new uses for them as they kind of go into disuse and disrepair. So this is actually an excellent use and a beautiful structure, as you'll see. According to the petitioner, during the course of construction, he's experienced gunshots into the structure itself, damage to his personal vehicles, theft of materials on the job site. And for that purpose, this fence is requested so that he can protect his own property and the property of future residents that will live at this location. In processing this, I did speak to the petitioner and ask for police reports to the effect that there had actually been all of this activity. And he said that he had spoken to the police on some occasions, but not others. We did not ultimately receive any police reports, but they were requested. So bringing us to the request, under current regulations, the petitioner is allowed to have an opaque fence up to 4 feet in height or up to 6 feet in height if the top 3 feet are 70% open. So that's kind of a unique circumstance where he can be completely, where you can't see up to 3 feet. Anything over 3 feet, he would have to, you would have to be able to see through at 70%. An 8-foot fence is permitted along the side, behind the facade of the building and along the rear property line without a variance. So in essence, you have different permissions at different points along the property's boundary, and his request is to have 8 feet at the entire perimeter of the site. So as you walk by on the site, it wouldn't just be that this would be, say, at the back or the side. You would see 8 feet at all points along the property. That's what he's asking for. The one relevant ordinance section that I think is important to bring forward here, section 9.6.4b, requires establishment of a visibility triangle. Because this is at an intersection where directly across the street there is a Family Dollar, and so when you pull up, there would be the need to be able to see. And so I wanted to produce this so that you all could see in kind of deliberating over whether or not this is appropriate. I did communicate to the petitioner that there would be an interest in having a visibility triangle established so that there wouldn't be any issue with cars pulling up to the corner if a fence of taller height is permitted. So this is something that would also go through a building permit process. And I believe traffic engineering would have oversight to say they had met the requirements of this ordinance provision. All right, so with that, I am going to jump down to a photo here so that you can see the context. This is the original church. And a couple of things I think are relevant in kind of thinking through this. The first being that, again, this is an existing church structure, but if you'll notice, the doors are not actually on the front of the structure. They're on the side. And so when we think of applying residential standards that would normally be applied to parcels that have a clear front, rear and sides, it's difficult in determining, you know, where is one thing appropriate as to another. So you can see that the actual main ingress point is on a front, arguably, because this side of the building also fronts on a major thoroughfare here. But there are actually no ingress egress points here on what we would regard as the front of the church building itself. So taking that into account, and also the fact that the safety issues that the petitioner is describing are not things that are likely going to be addressed through installation of a fence, I do think that there is some concern that should be given to future residents, but installation of a taller fence is probably not going to resolve the problems of crime and theft and things of that nature. So with that, MPC staff does recommend denial of the request to install an 8-foot fence, and instead approval of a 6.5-foot opaque fence adjoining Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and West 48th Streets. And so in essence, this would give the future property inhabitants a little bit more privacy. It would kind of keep their personal belongings on the other side of the fence out of that visual line of sight, but it wouldn't actually create something that looks unusual or unsightly within the neighborhood. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Marr, I've got a question. So he's actually requested a variance for the 8-foot fence. He's not requested the 6-foot 6 fence. Is this like a counter offer that you're making?
Exactly. So as I kind of drove through this area, I did notice that there were fences that had barbed wire. And if you can imagine, say, a chain link fence, that has barbed wire on top, 100% visible all the way through. But the idea is you're trying to prevent someone from crawling over. So obviously there's some concerns for safety that have been expressed in this area, but there was nothing as tall as 8 feet. So the petitioner himself actually has, I think it's a 7-foot fence that is currently on a portion of the property that's right here. So you can see what 7 feet looks like in relation to the building. 8 feet would be over and beyond that all the way around.
Yeah, it'd be like a stockade.
Right.
Yeah. Mrs. Jarrett, do you have a question?
I do. I'm concerned about the visibility and the site triangles, obviously. Will the 6-foot 6-inch opaque fence allow visibility at that corner?
He would have to provide, I believe it's a 45-degree angle, so that he would be able to see directly across.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
still worries me about the I think your counteroffer is it has some merit, but to how do we approve a variance that hasn't been requested?
Well, again, this is just an alternative that is proposed to the board. You all have the authority to issue the variance that you think is appropriate within this context.
Any other questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Yeah, I mean, it's mainly for the safety of the residents.
Your name, sir?
Sorry, Michael Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Adams.
For the safety of the residents, the setback from the parking on MLK right there is a two-lane road with a 20-foot median. So it wouldn't actually be blocking the view of people going down. You know, people that go up to that stop sign actually hang a right. If they go left, they go into the median, kind of like Abercorn. So it wouldn't be blocking the, you know, oncoming traffic because people would normally just come across and go into the median. From the parking of MLK right there to my property line is 25 feet. So when they get to that stop sign, they've got 25 feet of viewing to see around the, to even go right, which right is just one way that way. So they pull up, they can see 25 feet there, plus the road, plus the median for the oncoming traffic. So it's got plenty of view there to see the traffic itself. But a opaque fence, I mean, if I put a chain link fence up there, I mean, is that going to be more attractive than a nice wood, you know, fence just with nice design? I mean, I just think it'll look a lot better. I'm not going to put up a chain link fence. You know, SCAD behind me, they have a chain link fence with barbed wire and it looks like a, you know, prison. But, you know, I just think a wood fence would be appropriate to, you know, I'm going to put a moving gate in there so people can actually pull in, park and then close the gate behind them with a button so they can get out and be safe rather than, you know, worry about getting out of their car at night.
Mr. Marr, what do you want to say?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, members of the board, one caveat, the visibility triangle is not within today's request. That is a standard that would be assessed during the building plan review. So the applicant, unless he comes back and asks for some sort of a variance related to the visibility triangle, that is something that will be assessed during the building plan review process.
Okay.
I had sent him some, you know, if the visibility triangle is the issue here, you know, if I pulled the fence back from the corner, say 5 feet, and did a visibility triangle of 5 feet on both sides, if visibility is the problem here, you know, I don't have a problem setting it back. But the visibility triangle for regulations is like, what is it, 25 or 40 feet? And that's just basically the whole front yard. So it's not gonna secure the property to give my tenants comfort in getting out of their car at night, you know.
Y'all have any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead, Ms. Jerry.
One of the concerns I have is the fact that if you build an 8-foot high fence and someone jumps that fence, they're going to be, no one's going to be able to see them. One of the things, I live not too terribly far from there, and I too have had problems with building a house in that area.
Yeah.
And the police told me lights, no bushes, make it as visible as possible so that people don't, they're not invited to go back there and create mischief.
Right. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be 8 feet. You know, I'd be fine with 7, 6.5. You know, I just, I feel like they're, you know, out of sight, out of mind is kind of the thing with crime. I just feel like there needs to be a separation between, you know, people walking by there, people cut through there constantly. You know, Three Points Food Truck Park right there, you know, it's turned into a homeless shelter, basically. People are sleeping there constantly. So, if, you know, if I have my tenants, you know, parking there at night, I mean, there's bushes behind Family Dollar that people can hide in. And I just think, I think I need the separation in the height of at least 6 to 8 feet.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
No, I think she's asked most of what I would have asked.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Is there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you're online, use the raise your hand feature.
We do have someone with the name Kellis. I'm going to unmute.
Kellis? Kellis, would you like to speak? You unmute yourself?
You're self-muted.
Oh, yes. Hi. It's Kellis, yes. And I apologize. Good morning to everyone. I did hear all the information that was presented, and I would like to ask the board to deny that request. I am a resident of that neighborhood, and I have rolled by there frequently and have not noticed any gunshots or any of that, Mr. Adams is saying here. And also, I am concerned about the visibility in that area once he put that fence up. Again, you know, if you can't see, you're going to invite that. You think about the neighbors that in that area don't have fences. We have to be concerned too. But again, it's all about the lighting. It's all about cutting down the bushes. You know, you have to make it known that if you put up all this, it does kind of warrant those people from not coming in. We have to be good neighbors. So I'm asking that the board deny that request of that 8-foot wood fence. And I do understand that he's trying to protect his investment and also his tenants. But again, we are all a part of that neighborhood and we want the best for everyone. However, that fence is not going to be the answer to his problems that he's trying to combat before his tenants get in there.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Cleese.
You're welcome. Thank you. And thank you.
Any other members of the public that would like to speak? No one else online? Mr. Adams, would you like to rebut public comment? Okay. Well, if there's no one else to speak, Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Garrett?
No.
Mr. Jones, would someone care to make a motion?
I move that the 8-foot fence be denied.
Okay. Mrs. Jones has made a motion to deny the request for variance.
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jared. Any discussion on the motion? Are we going to take into consideration staff recommendations at all? Or
are we able to do that?
According to Mr. Morrow, yeah, I've kind of questioned that myself.
If the
petitioner did say that he would be happy with a 6-foot or 6-foot 6-inch, we don't have to take it in consideration at all. We can just deny the petition before us, just like your motion. I was just asking.
I'm not going to add that to it.
Okay. Mrs. Jones has made a motion to deny. It's been seconded by Mrs. Jared. Mrs. Jared, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the request for variance is denied. Next, we're going to hear the ADU side yard setback and lot coverage variances for 210 West Bolton Street, 24-000497.
All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a petition regarding an ADU at 210 West Bolton Street. The petitioner is requesting approval of a reduction of the required side yard setbacks in the TN1 zoning district from 3 feet to 0 feet. That is for the required side yard setback on either side of the parcel. The subject parcel is outlined in yellow on your screen right here. And so you can see the principal dwelling on this lot does have zero side setbacks. And the proposed ADU is right here adjoining West Gwinnett Lane. It would also have 0-foot side yard setbacks. Also, the petitioner is requesting a 15% lot coverage variance from the 60% maximum to increase that to 75% lot coverage. That would allow the construction of this accessory dwelling unit. Of note is that the Historic Preservation Commission granted a COA for this request back on January 3rd, 2024. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. I'd just like to point out quickly that this is a contributing resource built in 1872 within the Victorian Historic District. The subject parcel is indicated as a residential parcel within the scope of 7.5.5 short-term vacation rental overlay district. And so any use of the property in this manner would be required to comply with the requirements of the STVR overlay as well. And with that, staff does recommend approval in concurrence with the Historic Preservation Commission. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff?
This is the exact same footprint of the existing building there now, isn't it?
That is my understanding, yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Right. Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Yes, good morning. My name is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation. I'd like to thank staff for their comments. And as mentioned, we're basically adding a second floor to the existing garage that's on the site. We're not, which had these variances granted back in 2018. So we're not going beyond the variances that have already been granted. We're just building a second floor to an existing structure on the back. Also like to point out that historically, according to the Sanborn maps, there was a two-story structure in the rear at one point. Just to put that out there. But that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Any questions for petitioner? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? If you're online, you can use the raise your hand feature. Do we have any? No one here. I'm sorry, I don't know if I did ask if there's any questions for petitioner, didn't I? Yeah. Okay. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir.
Mr. Jared?
Thank you.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Okay, would someone like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve.
All right, Mr. Turner's made a motion to approve the request for variances. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, Mrs. Jared, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Jones? Or Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. And the request for variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear the petition of Parker's Gas Station sign variances for 1750 Grove Point Road, 24-000385.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the board, the Drayton Parker companies are requesting sign variances in association with proposed signage for a new Parker's gas station to be located at 1750 Grove Point Road. And there are, in essence, two sets of variances that are requested. The first one is a reduction in the minimum 400-foot separation required between ground signs. And the second one is an increase in the maximum permissible size for copy on an electronic changeable copy sign from 40 square feet and 50%. That is the maximum currently permitted by the zoning ordinance to 58.05 square feet and 73% of the total square footage of a sign. And so just to point out a couple of relevant standards, also before I forget, I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. Ground signs are regulated by section 9.9.11, signs requiring permits. And you can see here, point B says that there shall be at least 400 feet of separation between ground signs. And then also, again, within signs requiring permits, electronic changeable copy slash reader board sign. Copy shall not exceed 50% of the total sign area or 40 square feet, whichever is less, for type 1 and type 2 streets, or 32 square feet, whichever is less for all other streets. And so that leads us to the diagram. We can see that actually the subject parcel is within kind of this area here out on Abercorn and is identified as a type 1 street. And again, here, this is our second regulation that is requested to be varied within the BC zoning district. The first tenant, maximum sign area total shall not exceed 75 square feet. I'm so sorry. I was reading into something else. In reviewing the sign plan, I highlighted that because I noticed that there was an annotation that the sign was supposed to be larger. So don't mind that being in the record, just to say that if a variance to that is also permitted, requested, then that's something that would have to come back. Nonetheless, these may not be final. These may just be conceptual in essence. Just to throw a couple of findings in here, the subject parcels total approximately 2.68 acres. They're zoned BC Community Business, and it's currently under construction. Interestingly, within SAGIS, this currently indicates these are separate parcels. And so I would suppose that a recombination should be coming very soon for these parcels, seeing that the structure that's being constructed on them has not had a recombination and is sitting on top of property lines where it should not. The parcels have frontage on three public rights of way, and they are relatively narrow. And so just to jump to the figure here, these are the monument signs that are proposed for this site. And so while one monument sign could be posted here on the corner, in order to achieve the 400 feet separation, you could have another one posted kind of in this area where my mouse is, or you could have a similar combination in order to achieve this. But being that back in this area, you actually have sort of a rural low density residential use, it would be ideal for those signs to be posted more so on this corner where you're going to have traffic on Abercorn and traffic that is coming from the adjoining commercial uses and even residents that are coming out of Sweetwater right here to be able to see that sign. And so it makes sense for the second ground mounted sign to be posted right there. Just to go back up, the petitioner is proposing an electronic copy sign that totals 73% area where 50% is allowed. This was the other note that I added right here, number six, though not requested on the application. Submitted sign elevations demonstrate the signs are in excess of 75 square feet. So that was that seemingly errant comment that I made earlier that's captured there in the notes. Again, these two signs are proposed to be larger than the ordinance would normally allow them to be based on the frontage of these streets. I'm going to go ahead and jump down to the signs themselves so that you can see it's this area right here that they're requesting to be larger, where it would normally be allowed to only be 50% of the frontage of the sign's face. And so with that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the request to vary the distance between the two ground signs, but denial of the request to increase the maximum copy size, given the residential context that this is in. And not only that, the fact that Abercorn is a thoroughfare where the current permitted sizes are likely to be sufficient. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Morrow, you mentioned type one and type two streets. Mm-hmm. How many types of streets are there and what defines those?
So I believe that that's probably based on kind of the width of right-of-way, the traffic speed that's permitted. There are three different highway types, if I'm not mistaken, or three different road types. And so you can see Abercorn being a relatively large thoroughfare. Ogeechee would be a type two for comparison, and anything else that is not identified would fall under that all other types.
Type three, okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for staff? All right, thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I'm Daniel Ben Ishmael, real estate development manager for Drayton Parker Companies and Parker's Kitchen. Thank you for hearing our case this morning. And thank you, staff, for summarizing our proposal. I would like clarification on the size of the signage that we're allowed to have per staff's comments. One of the things that we gathered from our conversations with, I believe it's John Agnost with the city, was that once these lots are actually combined, which we will do, staff noted that these properties, or this property is currently three parcels. We had to annex and rezone them last year. And so once prior to obtaining final inspections and the certificate of occupancy, we will go through a final plat and recombination of the lots. So we will have one property in the end. Once that's done, it is our understanding that we would be allowed to have 160 square feet per sign, which would make the signs as proposed be in compliance with the size allotment. We would still, however, need the variances that we're asking for the ratio of the electronic changeable copy and the location or the separation. With that being said, I think staff did a great job of summarizing the reasons why we're asking for the signs to be situated as they are. The ordinance requires 400 feet minimum separation. We're asking for a reduction in 200 feet to have them 200 feet apart. For the reasons that staff stated, it's strategic. It makes more sense. It pulls the signs away from the rural residential area along Grove Point Road, and also the signage along 204, that location is ideal given that this is a major thoroughfare with average speeds of 55 to 65 miles per hour. And so it makes sense for that sign to be at that corner where motorists can make adequate decisions in an adequate amount of time to further facilitate traffic flow and safety. For the same reasons, we've decided to locate the second sign at the intersection of Grove Point and Pine Grove so that, again, motorists leaving and neighbors leaving the Sweetwater Station area or neighborhood and leaving the commercial properties along Grove Point Road, again, would be able to see that sign, see the pricers, and, again, make a decision to enter the site or not in a manner that's conducive to safety at that intersection as well. There are other reasons why we chose the locations that we have. There are multiple utility conflicts that we've encountered during construction on this site. There's an old abandoned right-of-way that runs through the center of the property. It's the old Pine Grove Road. That road was at some point relocated, and so that old right-of-way was there, and it has been abandoned. However, as a part of that right-of-way, there were utilities located within easements there. One of those utilities is actually an AT&T fiber. Well, I'm not sure it was fiber originally, but now it operates as an easement for AT&T facilities. We've had to work with them to relocate some of their infrastructure, but they still have cabinets on our property along the frontage of 204. And so it made placement of signage along 204 a bit tricky for us. We felt like putting the signage further down 204, if you will, eastbound would again not be the ideal location because motorists coming through the intersection, you know, would have to look beyond our site to see what the prices are, where if it's closer to the intersection, they could be there at the intersection, whether stopped or not, and make a decision to make the right turn to visit our establishment. The site is under construction, as mentioned. We're hopefully looking to turn the property over to operations in the next couple of months. And so we're looking to get a resolution on this matter so that we can have the signage installed in a timely manner. I think that's all I have. We'd ask for your favorable consideration of our variance request. We think that the size of the changeable copy is appropriate for, again, the street that we're fronting on, Highway 204, heavily traveled, high speeds. And so larger digits, larger changeable copy is appropriate for this site. Thank you for your time, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Mrs. Woods?
Good morning. I'm Artis Wood, and I am chair of Scenic Chatham. Parker's has produced beautiful signs in other locations, but usually only when zoning requires it. I think I passed out a couple of ones that they have done in Bluffton. And also the new one at White Bluff and Durin is a great improvement to that corner. I hope you've seen that. This application is making two remarkably excessive variances, 100% less space between two signs and 50% more sign copy than zoning allows. Please deny these requests for the following reasons. One, the excessive variance requested makes zoning almost irrelevant. Two, the size, height, and location does not permit trees above it. At number three, some viewpoints would make the two signs appear as a giant one. And finally, most people do not choose a gas station because they have the largest or most visible sign, but because of price and having loyalty and a card membership for discounts. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Mrs. Woods. Any other members of the public would like to speak? If there's any online, we'd like to recognize you.
No.
Okay. Would the petitioner like to rebut public comment?
Yes, I'd like, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I'd like to just state in closing that this proposal is not injurious to the public or the character of the neighborhood. As proposed, the signs are within the allowable maximum height restrictions and size restrictions. It's just within that allowable area that we're asking for the changeable copy to be increased. And so the sign overall is in compliance. And that's not causing a detriment. I'd like to just echo the sentiment of the madam or young lady from the Chatham Beautiful that pricing does matter. And so for that very reason, individuals are choosing to visit our establishment because of our pricing. And it's very important that we have a prominent location to advertise such pricing, which is the reason why we're asking for the larger changeable digital copy of our sign pricers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This time we'll enter into board discussion. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Not at this time.
Mrs. Jared?
No, thank you.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Would someone care to make a motion?
Move to approve staff recommendation.
Second. Okay.
All right, Mrs. Jarrett has made a motion to approve staff recommendations, which would be the approval of the variance to reduce the minimum distance between the signs and the denial of the change in the size to the signs. Is there a second? Did you second? Mrs. Jones has seconded that motion. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, hearing none. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the staff recommendations are approved. Next, we're going to hear the ADU variances for 405 Washington Avenue, 24-000488.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is a request to extend an existing ADU on a contributing structure within one of our historic districts. The petitioner would like consideration of variances to extend a non-conforming accessory structure, and two, to allow that ADU to exceed 40% of the floor area and the 700 square foot maximum that is permitted for accessory dwelling units. And here you can see the subject parcel located at the intersection of Atlantic and Washington. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. A couple of significant findings. The property is within the Ardsley Park Chatham Crescent Conservation District. It's an 11,400 square foot property, and it has a detached single family home that has a non-conforming accessory dwelling unit based on its side setback. Based on data provided by the Board of Assessors, the single-family residence was originally constructed in 1935, and the ADU also constructed in 1935 is approximately 684 square feet. The structure is reported to be two stories and contain one bedroom and one bathroom, according to the tax assessor records, and the ADU is nonconforming, again, with regard to its side setback. Significant, though, is that it was built prior to the adoption of our current development standards. And so the petitioner is submitting a proposal to add on to this nonconforming accessory dwelling unit by adding 355 square feet to make the total square footage 820. The resulting ADU is going to be 48% of the area of the principal dwelling, which is 8% in excess of what's allowed, and exceed the 700 square foot maximum by 120 square feet. And the proposed addition to the nonconforming structure would take place within the area that would be permitted. So this is not an expansion of the nonconforming setback. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the requested variance that you can see here. This line shows the relevant setback, and so this is the proposed addition that would take place within the current legal building envelope. With that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? Okay, thank you, Mr. Morrow. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good morning. Thank you, staff, and thanks for being here, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Pete Callejas, Homestead Architecture, and this is our project. We went to great lengths to try to meet the client's program and their needs to make this property more functional, more accessible, and more beautiful. And we did it in a way that was, we tried to be very, very careful of making it as small as we could. And it's not visible from either, it wouldn't be visible from either the Atlantic Street or Washington because of its location. There's also a lot of vegetation on the Washington side. You may see a sliver of a roof somewhere if you're really looking for it, but we're also doing something that we feel is going to be very attractive. Although subordinate to the existing architecture, it would be compatible, and we're not going to be doing anything that's not harmonious with the neighborhood. The lot is large. If the house was about 300 square feet larger, we wouldn't need a variance for the size, but we needed a variance to do anything at all to that accessory dwelling unit. We did originally, we really needed a laundry room on that to provide a laundry capability for the residents, which is only 29 square feet. But because we didn't want to build another accessory building elsewhere on the lot, eating up more green space, making it more visible and less harmonious, we decided to tuck it in back behind the house. And we don't feel like we're doing anything that's detrimental to the neighboring properties in any way. It's not contrary to the public interest. The restrictions in place was not created by us, and the literal enforcement of the ordinances would result in practical difficulty, meaning that he wouldn't be able to do what he would like to do. They would not be able to do what they would like to do to the property. The addition is really a utilitarian addition. There's a small office, a workshop, a bathroom, a laundry room, and a small area for some storage. And, you know, so we feel like what we're doing is very tastefully done, appropriate to the lot size. And so we appreciate staff's comments and recommendations, and I'm here to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Thank you, sir. Hey, members of the public like to speak concerning this petition? Or if there are any online, you can use the raise your hand feature.
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mrs. Jarrett?
No, thank you.
Mrs. Jones?
No, not at this time.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I motion that we approve.
All right, Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the request for variance. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the variance is approved. Lastly, we're going to hear the relief for a non-conforming structure, 5211 Dillon Avenue, 24-000422.
All right. Mr. Chair, members of the board, our last request today is the request in essence to enclose an existing porch at 5211 Dillon Avenue. We can see the subject property here near the intersection of Atlanta and Dillon Avenue. And it is staff's understanding that this is basically a request just to enclose a portion of this structure that you can see here. Not even the entire thing, but just to enclose a portion right here. You can see that this dwelling was originally constructed in 1938, essentially right on the property line. Again, through conversations with the petitioner, it is my understanding there is no requested encroachment further. There is only a request to enclose what is there for the purpose of renovating the home itself. I'd like to enter the staff report into the record. I don't think there are any other particularly relevant details I wanted to call out. With that, as long as there is no proposed encroachment of what is here, staff does recommend approval of the request to enclose the porch. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. But any petitioner questions? Is here. The petitioner is here to answer your.
Any requests, any questions for staff? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Sorry, if I could add one note. This is the floor plan and site plan that I received. So you can see it shows a 20-foot setback that actually does not exist in reality. And so this is why I had questions about the intent. And so it's my understanding this is right here at the front of this line, but I'll allow the petitioner to kind of clarify.
Hi.
State your name for the record, please.
Amos Lemberger.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
No. From what it's looking, the property, I'm exactly in the line of all the houses around there. I just want to close like 35% of the right side of the porch. That will be able to build the room.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any members of the public like to speak concerning this petition? Anybody online?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, not at this
time. Mrs. Jarrett?
Yeah, thank you.
And Mr. Turner?
No.
Someone like to make a motion?
I motion that we approve.
All right. Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the request.
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. There's no discussion on the motion. Mrs. Jarrett, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the request is approved. And there's no more items on the agenda, so we will call this adjourned.